All right, open your Bibles to Romans, if you would, please. Find Romans chapter 12, and find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I think one of the, we're going to begin tonight talking about the serving gifts. And I think one of the things that we have to watch out for, because I really believe that if one of the divisions of the spiritual gifts, speaking and serving, if one of those categories is more given to people in the body of Christ, I believe it's the one we're talking about tonight and next week, the serving gifts rather than the speaking gifts. I believe there's a good blend given to every church, but I believe there's a greater blend because there's a greater need for the serving gifts in the life of the body of Christ. But it's interesting in watching people and understanding the gifts and believing that there are more of the serving gifts operating in the body of Christ than the speaking gifts, and then realizing that most people who have these gifts don't consider these gifts important. And a lot of that is because they're less verbal and they're less visible. And there is a sense in all of us that those who do something visibly and publicly, we have a sense to think that there's an automatic credibility to who they are and what they're saying. I have folks all the time saying, well, I heard so-and-so on television say, what do you think? And it's as if just because somebody's on the television, they automatically have credibility. How does that make you credible? And being able to do something visibly and publicly doesn't necessarily make you credible. And I really do hope that tonight and next week, because many of you have these serving gifts, some blend of these serving gifts, that it'll be elevated in your mind and in your journey how important these are. For instance, when you go to the doctor and they're going to give you an examination, they don't examine the visible necessary to see how you're doing. They don't look at you and say, well, you're okay, your head's straight. Or they don't look at you and say, I guess you're all right, your neck's not crooked. They don't do that. Well, they take your temperature and they take your pulse. They take those invisible signs because they're more representative of who we are. So we're going to talk about some of these very important visible gifts, the things, invisible gifts rather, that we can't see. Romans chapter 12, we're going to talk first of all about the gift of leadership. Romans chapter 12, find verse 8, Romans 12, 8. Here Paul talks about three of the gifts, encouraging and contributing, but toward the end of the verse he said, if it's leadership, let him govern diligently. Or you may have, if it's ruling, let him rule with haste or with diligence. And then if you'll look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and find verse 28, about in the middle of verse 28, I believe this is one of those dual gifts. There are two aspects to this one gift. We'll talk about those in a minute. Those with the gifts of administration. Those with the gifts of administration. Okay, now look on your outline. Let's walk through and we'll get down the what's most interesting usually to folks, and that's the characteristics in a minute. But I want to talk about this gift that I think has two dimensions. Okay, Romans 12, 8 that we read where it talks about leadership. Let him govern diligently. Okay, the word there is a word that means to preside over, to stand before, to be over, and to manage. And every time it's used 8 times in the New Testament, and every time it's used in the context of managing people. It's used in the context of a couple places of the elders and the pastors managing the life of the church, of deacons managing their children well. It's used in that context in 2 or 3 of the 8 cases. But in every one of the 8 uses, there is always the managing, the leading, the ruling, the presiding, the directing of people. So there's this prong of the leadership gift that I think is more in managing people. Okay, now hold on to that. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Paul talks about the gifts of administration. Now that's a different word in the Greek, but I believe it fits into the similar category of leadership gift, and that is this gift of administration. It means to pilot or to steer. It technically means a helmsman, one who steers the ship. It is only used three times in all the New Testament, and in every case it is used in referring to someone who is steering a ship. So when you get into understanding what it means in steering the ship, there is less in steering the ship in managing people, and there's more in organizing things in steering the ship. Now, I want you to look at the leadership definition in pulling those together. I think it's the God-given ability to manage people and organize things. Now, what I think is it's very important, whether it's the ship or whether it's people. A ship's going in a certain direction, and people need to go in a certain direction. So it's the ability, I think, to manage people and or to organize things toward a defined direction to get results. I don't think that the gift necessarily has anything to do with an official office or title. I think there are a lot of people in the church that don't have any specific office or title, and they have the leadership administrative type gift. Now, I believe that this gift comes to most people in blends, okay? There are those who have the leadership gift that are probably a little bit better at managing people. There are some of the leadership gift that are a little bit better at kind of organizing things. Now, if you're going to be an effective leader, you got to be able to do both. But in watching leadership over the years in the life of the church, it's my opinion that those who are effective in leadership have the capacity to do both. Probably one a little bit more than the other. Now let's explore some general characteristics. And remember, not all of these are always true in a person's life who had this gift. You're looking for tendencies. You're looking for patterns. I've got 10 items or characteristics, and I've got something to say about each one of them. So let me read through these with you and just kind of reflect. Is that me? Is that somebody I know? Is this why they are the way they are? Okay. The gift of leadership administration. This gift is manifested in the unique ability to see the big picture, the visionary. This person easily and readily sets goals and has direction. This person is not just a dreamer, they are that, but they are a dreamer in action. They can take the big picture, see the vision, and usually break it down into smaller, achievable tasks, yet without ever losing sight of the overall objective. Those with this gift are not discouraged by the size of the job. They're generally very goal or task oriented. They have a real tendency, and I see a lot of this in the pastor, they have a real, not just in the visionary aspect, you get a lot of that in the gift of faith that we'll talk about next week, is that the person with this gift has a real capacity to keep their eye on the direction, on the objective, and not get caught up or discouraged by the obstacles or the bumps in the road. And Brother Jim is that way very much. He's always talking about, oh, there are no problems. There are no problems. I've been telling him for 20 years. Yeah, there are. No, there are no problems. There are no problems. They're just opportunities. No, they're problems. No, they're opportunities. That's his gift of leadership. Okay, one of these days I'll convince him that he's wrong. Probably not. All right. Second thing, the gift of leadership provides and desires order and efficiency. They possess a unique ability to balance several things at once. The leadership gift despises what I call loose ends. Those with the leadership gift tend to be perfectionist. Okay, they often hear people say to them, you're too picky. You're too picky. They're very good at organizing the things for which they are responsible. Oftentimes, especially those with the administrative side, they are sticklers for keeping the rules, especially the ones they make. Thoroughness and quality are benchmarks of this gift. Those with this gift are generally very good at detail. Those with this gift often find themselves being what I call compulsive list makers. I have two in my pocket. I make lists on all of my lists. Those with this gift of leadership, a calendar and a tickler file are their best friends. 3. The gift of leadership tends to be assertive and likes to be in control, likes to take charge. If there's no official leader existing in a group, then this gift will surface and probably assume leadership. This gift is very authority conscious. They tend to strictly enforce any chain of command. They want to honor that. 4, persons with a leadership gift are normally confident and clear decision makers. Making choices is not too difficult for them. They tend to be good thinkers, very responsible people. 5, the gift of leading gift of leading others usually makes the recipient a good people motivator. Now, I tell you what I've seen. Those who have more of the managing people side are usually good people motivators. I know a lot of folks with leadership gift on the other side where it's more organizing things, and they can't motivate anything but a pencil. Okay? And you got to be careful in taking this gift and putting it in a capacity that requires it to motivate, it requires you to motivate and persuade and influence people if the strength of your gift is more the organizing things. I mean, you may have everything lined up and all the ducks together. The only problem is you got nobody following you. And you're not going anywhere, okay? And there is one definition of a leader. They have followers. If you don't have followers, it doesn't make any difference what gift you have, what you call yourself, you're not a leader, okay? Next, number six. Because this gift uniquely sees the big picture and is able to break it down in a manageable task, while maintaining order and efficiency, the gift of leadership typically now is a good, what I call a good resource finder. They're usually a pretty good delegator of task. Okay? They have a unique capacity to know where and who to go to get a job done. They also have a tendency to keep looking over the shoulder to make sure you do it right. They do, unless they outlearn that. 7, the very nature of this gift in leading people requires a unique ability to endure negativism and to withstand opposition. It is hard to be an effective leader of either kind if negativism and difficulty and opposition overly concerns you. I think probably in all the years of I do a lot of speaking at small churches that are usually, you know, maybe just, you know, maybe one pastor and a part-time music guy. I just enjoy doing that. And I think one of the most common shortcomings that I have seen in most of the leaders in those churches is that they spend maybe 70-80% of their time trying to keep 15-20% of the people satisfied and happy. And there's a paralysis that goes with that. And in almost every one of those cases, the church has been the same size and doing the same things for the last 10, 15, and 20 years. And it's probably because that same 15 to 20% of the people that have been critical and negative have been running things and nobody knew that. And it's a shortfall. In a lot of those, I didn't feel had a real strong gift of leadership. Those with the gift of leadership often do their best work under pressure. Those with this gift tend to be thick-skinned if they're going to be effective, okay? And then 8, those with this gift tend to be self-starters and self-initiators. They see the goal and they just seem to know what it'll take to get there. They want to move on to get the job done as soon as possible. 2 more. The gift of leadership generally exhibits, maybe at the same time demands, a high degree of loyalty to others. And then last, the gift of leadership receives great joy and fulfillment. I put down a good old A-team expression, when the plan, I love it when a plan comes together. Somebody remember that show? They just love to see it just kind of unfold and come together. Now notice back in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Find that again, Romans 12, verse 8. Romans 12, verse 8. It says, if it is leadership, let him govern, or let him lead, let him rule, let him manage diligently. The idea there is when this gift functions, it functions it quickly sees what needs to be done and gets it done. I mean, it rules, it leads. I'm not talking about with impatience. there's just this God-given capacity when the leadership gift is there to see what needs to be done, and with some degree of speed and diligence and haste to get it done. There are a lot of folks that see what needs to be done but never do anything. The leadership gift has the unique ability to see, well, this is what we need to do. Let's do it. And they move on. So it is exercised with diligence. Okay? The next two gifts. Okay? The next two gifts. The gift of helps and service. Find Romans chapter 12 verse 7. Romans 12 verse 7. And 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Okay? The gift of serving, gift of helps. Let's do Romans 12, 7 first. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's serving, let him serve. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, there in the middle again, just before the gifts of administration, those able to help others. Those able to help others. Now again, these are two different words, but I think it's just two expressions of the same gift, and you'll see why. Look at a working definition, kind of toward the bottom there, the gift of service and helps. Romans 12, 7, the word for serving simply means to do a service or to wait on tables. It's diakonia. Anybody know what that's translated in English? There are two officers in the church, elders and it's deacons. That's the word for deacon, okay? This gift, when you see it functioning in Acts chapter 6, for instance, you see it functioning in carrying out a particular task. The gift of serving, I think, is more of a task-oriented gift. It's more of a project-oriented gift. Now, the reason they do the task and the reason they do the project is to help people, okay? But it's more of a task-oriented gift in order to take a burden or take a load off of someone, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, the word for helps denotes the lending of a hand and the holding up to support. Now, I think this gift tends to be more people-oriented, okay? There are some that have this gift that have the capacity just to help people. Come on and let me help you, okay? There are some that this gift is more expressed. Okay, you need the chair set up. Setting up the chairs will help you. So I'll set up the chairs. That's more task-oriented. Okay? But in doing that, I help you. And those are the two different strands of the gift. On the bottom of that first page, service helps is the God-given ability to easily see. Very important. They can just see. Faithfully support. And then joyfully meet the needs for things to get done. And then I make what I believe is a true statement only by experience. It may be, this gift may be the most common gift in the body of Christ. I believe there are more people in the local church that have a high degree of this gift than any other of the spiritual gifts. And the reason is, it meets the greatest need in the life of the church. And that's for helps and for service. These people are the lifeblood of the church, and oftentimes, unfortunately, feel like some of the least appreciated. But without those people who have a good measure of this gift exercising the gift, I want to tell you, folks, everything comes to a standstill. You've got to have this. Listen, we won't have those Christmas trees in 3 weeks without a lot of these kind of people. Now, I think everybody can pitch in and help. But there are some who have a unique capacity to do it. Let's look at some of the characteristics of this gift. Some of the characteristics of this gift. Okay? I think I've got nine of them. Got nine of them, okay? One. The gift of helps is uniquely motivated to meet the physical and or the practical needs of others. This is a very practical-oriented gift. They enjoy manual projects, practical services. In fact, they'll often overlook the spiritual in order to meet the physical, okay? Those with this gift can never sit still while there is something that needs to be done. These are the Marthas of life, okay? They possess a unique ability to and insight to quickly recognize the needs of others that some of the rest of us don't even seem to notice. They're always the kind of person that say, "Oh, you need a chair." Or you know, I mean, they just recognize immediately that somebody needs help or somebody has a need. They prefer to respond to needs that require a little preparation time and a little organizational detail. These often get the job done before others even realize there's a job to be done. I mean, they just get the job done. Two, this gift has a high desire to please others. They often enjoy an unusual ability to recall the likes and the dislikes of other people. Why? They want to please you. These will unselfishly give of their own resources and their own time to meet the needs of others. Those with this gift are generally very energetic and possess great stamina in serving and in helping others. They're still moving the chairs when everybody else has stopped. This gift often has a reputation of being very trustworthy and dependable. They're very supportive, very faithful. All right? Four. The person with this gift of helps tends to easily overcommit. Well, I tell you what, of all of these characteristics, you got this gift, this is the one you'll struggle with the most. You'll say yes to everybody if it'll help them. This gift makes it hard to say no when something needs to be done. Those with this gift are very sacrificial, tend to wear themselves out to help others, often to the neglect of their own physical, personal, and family needs. I mean, they may get in the car, go across town, and help somebody's porch that's rotted out get rebuilt. Okay? The only problem is their own porch at home is rotted out. And it's been that way for 6 months. Some of you are laughing uncomfortably. Okay? But it happens. They'll overlook their own personal and family needs for the sake of others. Fifth, this gift works better on short-term projects than long-range ones. These people seem to live with a sense of urgency that things need to be helped or done as soon as possible. Because of this tendency, those with this gift will do, and I see this a lot, you know, when you've got, I know we have a lot of facilities, but we also have thousands of people, and we have, you know, scores and scores of ministries. So there are only so many rooms. And there are only so many spaces, so many rooms, and there are only so many times you can use those, okay? So there's a pretty detailed calendaring process around here for rooms and for places. I always know when the gift of helps is busy, okay? Didn't this happen a couple of weeks ago? Somebody's got sin in their life. Gotta be. My glasses don't even help. What I'm going to say is, those of you with this, John, thank you. Those of you with this gift, I know one of the things that eats your lunch, especially sometimes around here, there's so much red tape. Just so much red tape. So much has to be done. We had an example really recently. We had a group of folks in the church that was having a function at a particular time in a particular room, and it was rather large, a couple of hundred folks. Well, they didn't bother to calendar it because they were going to go there, they were going to set it up themselves, they were going to do their thing and then leave. So they didn't calendar it since they didn't need anybody to set it up, take it down, clean it up, or anything else. Okay? But I calendared the room. And I needed it set up and everything else. So I showed up, and they're there. And I know the person that did it. You're talking a gift of helps about that long. So I said, "Come here. I'm supposed to be in the room." "You are?" "Yeah." I calendared it. Well, I didn't calendar it because I didn't need anything. I knew I could do it all myself. And I want to say, gift of helps, gift of helps, gift of helps. So I had to move my meeting. That was my gift of mercy that we'll get to in a minute. Okay? Red tape. They go around authority. They tend to get easily sidetracked when working on a project, especially if another need comes up. They'll move from need to need to need to need. Those possessing the helps gift are usually poor delegators. Why? They'd rather do it themselves. And I tell you something else that bothers you. It bothers you when everybody else doesn't get involved too. People with the gift of helps need to be appreciated. Though they are low-key for recognition and they tend to remain behind the scenes, they still want sincere appreciation to confirm that their help was necessary and that they did a good job. Many having the gift of helps often express this gift as the gift of hospitality. They love to entertain guests and they're very receptive and loving to strangers. 9, generally the possessors of this gift, they tend to feel very inadequate and unqualified for places of visible leadership. Hear what I said? Those with this gift feel like, well, I'm not qualified to be that visible and that public. I think most of the time they're wrong in that conclusion. But they feel that way. I think it's a wrong conclusion for them to feel, okay? All right, let's see if I have anything else under. Yes, look back in Romans 12:7. Look back in Romans 12:7. Paul says, if your gift is serving, then the NIV says what? It says what? Just let him serve. You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, listen, if God has given you the capacity to serve and to help people, okay, that's what Paul's saying, do it. That's really, get busy. Don't sit. Get at it. And folks, I really believe this is the most common gift given to Christian people, the gift of service. Without it, the church could not function. Okay? The third gift for tonight, and one that I left the least time for because I don't know, I think this is the only mistake God may have ever made. Gift of showing mercy. Okay. Gift of showing mercy. I tell you what I was going to do tonight. I told Randall today, I said, Randall, I tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I don't have a whole lot to say about mercy. I have to make up stuff. I said, I tell you what I'll do. I'll bring Brother Jim in and I'll stand him right here. And I'll go get my sweet wife and I'll stand her right here. And I'll say, Brother Jim, Linda Knott, mercy. Any questions? Because they're mercy. They're mercy. And you'll see, you certainly will, and Jim, many of you don't know my Linda that well, but you'll see this as we go through this, okay? The gift of mercy, Romans 12:8. Romans 12:8. If it is showing mercy, let him or her do it cheerfully. Okay? The word means to have compassion on, to feel sympathy for, and to be able to suffer with. It denotes love in action. Okay? Now folks, many of us may be able to see there's a need, there's a hurt. We may be able to empathize and to feel that hurt. But the mercy gift doesn't just see it, doesn't just feel it, but does something to relieve it and is not satisfied until there's some relief. Very important part of it. And they especially show this capacity to those who cannot help themselves. The unloved, the outcast, the disabled, the sick, the homeless, the imprisoned. That's where you see a lot of the gift of mercy, okay? Though the gift is only stated once, the concept of this gift is found over 60 times. It is the capacity to hurt with others. The primary goal of this gift is to relieve suffering saints. Showing mercy is the God-given capacity to have compassion for and to suffer with those in distress with cheerful spirit. We'll talk about that at the end. They are the good Samaritans of the church. They are the good Samaritans of the church. Okay? Jimmy Ducey. Hey, if you know Jimmy Ducey at all, here's a man. You could not do what Jimmy does day in, day out, day in, day out without the gift of mercy. You could not do that. He spends much of his time dealing with people and families who are near death and dying and post death and ministering to them, going to the hospitals and ministering to them. And Jimmy does it, and I'll talk about it later. And he does it, I'm going to tell you, with cheerfulness, okay? I get energized by going into the office and looking at all these books that surround me and stacking up. I must have them about that tall right now on a subject that I'm studying and going through those. I can sit there. I love that. I mean, I get revved up. My heart rate goes up. And, I go to a hospital, my heart rate goes down. And I'm not energized at all doing that. And I look at Jimmy, and Jimmy, where are you going? Man, going to six hospitals. I won't say I'm sorry. But seeing that wonderful blend of how people function in the body, I mean, aren't you grateful for the Jimmy Dusicks? I mean, how I look around the room, how many of you have been ministered to him and many others with a high dose of the gift of mercy? Just, we just got to have that in the body of Christ, okay? Let's look at some general characteristics of the gift of mercy. I've got eight of them listed here, okay? Those having the gift of showing mercy are eager to help and readily identify with people that face mental and emotional stress. They care about relieving the inner hurts. This gift is commonly attracted to and easily understands those facing difficulty. They're keenly sensitive people who have an aching heart over the hurts of others. Two, this gift causes types of people, like I said, the sick and the homeless, the stressed, the poor, the handicapped, and so on. They gravitate to you because they sense in you acceptance, understanding, tenderness, and love. The mercy gift enables you to empathize with those, with others and their feelings, whether that's joy or sorrow. You can weep with those who weep. You can rejoice with those who rejoice. You have a unique ability with this gift to walk in somebody else's shoes and to get in somebody else's skin. You are willing to touch all of the walking wounded of life. God has uniquely given this person the ability to discern and identify with people really at an emotional level. They can easily sense in others when something is wrong. This is one real strength. I guess I say real strength. Sometimes I say go away. My wife has a keen sensitivity when something's wrong. Something's wrong, okay? And, I can be pretty expressionless, and I can be, but I can also be pretty stone-faced. She can read me like a book. Man, I can walk in the house. How you doing? I'm fine, fine, fine. What's wrong? She said, I'm fine. What's wrong? Well, nothing's wrong. Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. And she's right. She's right. God has a sense of humor. Okay. Three, a deep desire to remove and relieve the hurts of others as soon as possible. Okay. Remember the exhorter? Remember the exhorter said, I want to help you. I want to minister to you because I want you to see everything you can learn from this. I want you to learn all of the valuable lessons from this trial and difficulty you're going through. Okay, the mercy gift doesn't care if you learn anything. They just want you to stop hurting. They just want you to stop hurting. And they'll do whatever they can to help you. The mercy gift tends to cause its possessor to overreact when they or others are criticized. This gift is the most tender and easily offended of all of the gifts. This person is easily injured and grieved. Why? Because this gift is so sensitive and empathetic. This gift easily feels rejection. This gift often hears, you're too sensitive. You're too sensitive. Okay? You're too sensitive. And I tell you, this is probably where the Lord has had probably one of the greatest fruit of my study years ago of the spiritual gifts was not so much in understanding me and my gifts better, but frankly, me understanding Linda and her gifts better. And realizing the tenderness and the sensitivity and the easily offended and wounded. And I look back in the early years, of our marriage, and that, next year will be our 25th. So, it's been a while back, but I remember. Because I can be that way, I'd say something just quick and I'd just cut right through her. Just cut right through her and just wound her. And as I began to study gifts, I began to see how important, not just because she is my wife, but because of her giftedness, that I have to be real, real sensitive not to do or to say something that could easily offend. Because I don't want her to get hardened, to be tender. And this became more apparent when we began to have children and they became believers and I saw their giftedness. I mean, Stephanie, it was the first, and Stephanie's gifts are almost parallel to mine. Pray for her. I mean, she's just like me, just like me. And I could get on Stephanie. I could get in Stephanie's face. You will do this. You will not do that. Like it or not, do it. Okay. Now she sometimes tell me what to do, especially as she got older. Well, I tried that tame tactic in being a parent to Jeremy. Wrong. He's just like his mother. Tender, easily offended, easily senses rejection. I'm going to tell you, folks, it was Jeremy will be 18 at his next birthday, and it was he was a teenager, and I was studying, when I was got into studying the gifts in more detail, that I began to realize, wait a minute, I need to treat him. I need to treat him because of his gifts differently than maybe I treat Jonathan. Jonathan and Stephanie and I are just alike, okay? You put us all in the same room, we've got a good war. Man, it's a good war. You put Justin and Jeremy and Linda, okay, and they're going to all feel better when they leave. I'm in the room. You're not leaving until you feel better. There's a difference, okay? Five, the tenderness of the gift of mercy usually causes its recipient to avoid firmness and decisiveness. I don't know how many times that I have read through this, even just this afternoon, and I said it a while ago, I look at me and my gifts, and I look at my sweet wife and her gifts, and I just know God has to have a gift, a sense of humor. And I also know that when God knew what He was going to ask me to do, that what I needed most in my life were some of the weakest places in my life, and that's why He gave me her. And I say that He has a sense of humor. And we all know what I mean by that is that God is infinitely wise. He knows exactly what He's doing. Okay? These are generally, they avoid firmness and decisiveness. They're generally very soft-hearted people because they're sensitive to the feelings of others. They often hear people say, well, you're so soft-hearted. Others often see you as weak and indecisive person. You have a deep desire to please everyone. Six, those having this gift tend to resist people who are insincere in their motives or insensitive to others who are distressed or hurting. When mercy senses hypocrisy and unconcern, it'll close its spirit and shut you off. The mercy gift tries to avoid people who are negative and critical because they tend to take it personally. And then two more, seven, those with the gift of mercy have a high need for friendships. This gift tends to measure acceptance from others by how much close and quality time. I had to learn that again in my relationship with Linda. I know that the needs of the woman are different than the needs of the man, but I also have learned Linda's giftedness requires even more of that. And in terms of the sensitivity to her softness of spirit and need for quality, close time, okay? They need quality time and attention so that the battery can be recharged. This is because the mercy gift tends to give so much of itself as they get involved in the lives of people. And then last, the emotional and mental nature of the gift of mercy causes those with this gift to normally make decisions more on an emotional basis than on reason or on logic. Okay? Now, go back to Romans 12:8. when he talks about this gift of showing mercy, he says, let him or her do it with what kind of a spirit? A cheerful spirit. I believe the Greek word for cheerful here is only used one other time, and it's in the passage where it talks about giving, for the Lord loves a... Same word, okay? And it's the word that we get our word hilarity from, okay? Now, stop and think about this. Here is the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy that spends its giving of this gift to the outcast, to the downcast, to the stressed, to the homeless, to the folks who can't repay them, who can't give anything back. Now, you think about that category of people and what kind of attitude generally surrounds that kind of people. Discouragement, disheartened, despair, hopelessness. So God takes this gift that ministers to those kind of people, and He gives a cherry on the ice cream by saying, not only will you be able to do that to those people, you'll enjoy doing that with those people. And your attitude of joy and cheerfulness, they don't just need for you to be there and to mercy them, they need you to be there and cheer them up. And this gift can do that. This gift can do that. And it takes a unique person to be able to do that. Jimmy Dusick can go to visit you in the hospital and spend 15 minutes with you and pray with you and leave that hospital. And I'm going to tell you, most of the time, you're just going to feel better. You're going to be cheered up, okay? I can come to visit you in that hospital. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And I can be there 30 minutes and talk with you. I can quote Bible verses to you, okay? I can tell you all about the Trinity. I mean, I can do everything like that. I can pray with you for 15 minutes and I leave, and you may not feel a whole lot better at all. I spent twice as much time. You know what a lot of the difference was? Just gifts. That's the reason it's so important. And I think this gift, maybe more than any of the others, so important, because it illustrates so importantly for us the illustration of there are different parts in the body that have different functions. There are different roles on the team. Know your role. There are different instruments in the orchestra. Know your instrument. Because it makes a huge difference, not just for you, but for the others. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for our time of study together, prayer and study. Lord, continue to meet with us on the pilgrimage. Help us not just to better understand ourselves and the treasures that you have given to us and our spiritual gifts, but help us to care enough about others in the body of Christ, whether they be family or friends. Help us to care enough to understand all of them so we'll understand each other so much better. Thank you for these serving gifts that are so essential to the life and to the health of the body. God bless you, Lord, for those who have around me, I know, in my ministry, have provided those helps and service and mercy. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.